your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witch's Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com.
Well, merry meet everybody, and somebody was stirring a cauldron up in the ethers tonight. But in the introduction, I was going to say this is going to be a magical night with my guest Judica Illis, and it was going to be, yeah, a little magic that went boink for a while, but we're here. So, Judica is an independent scholar, and she spent her life researching broad spectrums of the magical arts like astrology, mythology, the Kabbalah, Egyptian mysteries, and spiritual and healing traditions from all over the earth. And she's the author of several books of folklore and folkways and mythology, including four encyclopedias, which one of my favorites is the Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells. And her other books include Magic When You Need It and The Wiser Field Guide to Witches. And she's got a couple new ones coming out that we're going to talk about. And tonight we're talking also about magic. One of her books coming out is called Pure Magic. And she just did an online course by the same name, both of which are complete courses in spellcasting. So For those of you in the chat room, if you have any questions about magic for Judica, just send me a private chat. Or if you want to live dangerously, you can ask it in the chat room and hope I see it. And if you're not in chat, please join us at parxradionetwork.com. And Judica, I know you've been busy, 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 so I want to thank you for tearing yourself away to join us tonight, because it's been way, way, way too long.
It's always a pleasure, Marla. Thank you for having me.
It's always an adventure, isn't it? Yeah.
We're going to stir the cauldron.
Well, listen, get two witches together, and this is what happened. We got to stir. And you know, people in the chat room are listening very carefully, because I've already got a chat room question right off the bat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're quick. They're very, very quick. They want to know if there is a difference between magic and spell casting.
I mean, yes. Yes. I mean, there's a semantic difference, but yes. Spell casting is a conscious thing. Spell casting is something that we do, or you know, we might not do, but it is conscious. You will not. Magic is the world. Magic is us. Magic is all around us. We don't have to do anything to be surrounded by magic. That's just there. And you can certainly live a magical life without casting a spell. But spell casting, you know, I mean, I think these are three different things. Magic, magical energy, and spell casting. Magic, you know, is all around us. And I think we feel it when, you know, that thing at the beginning of the show, Marla, that was magic. I don't, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of magic. And then magical energy is a current that runs through everything. You know, I can't say the universe, because I don't know what's going on out, you know, in the cosmos, you know, on Mars, but certainly everything on Earth, everything that is natural, has a magical current flowing through it. Now, that magical current could get blocked. There are positive currents, there are negative currents, it can be depleted, it can be expanded. There are a lot of things that, you know, affect this energy. But this energy is just flowing. It's just part of existence and creation. A spell is a conscious attempt to harness this energy for a goal.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, when you were talking about a minute ago that people, you know, you don't have to do spells or anything, don't you think, I don't know, this is just in my head, I think when we curse something, not magically, not witchy, I mean, just, you know, something happens, you stub your toe and you curse, or somebody that's driving a car in front of you cuts you off and you yell at them or whatever. Or, you know, you on the positive side, you do something very positive. You're thinking about something. Don't you think maybe in a way we are doing spell work all the time, just not calling it that?
I think that you can use magical energy accidentally.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I think the classic example of that is the evil eye. Mm-hmm. Casting the evil eye at someone, and that you don't need to know you're doing it. You just have to be so hurt or so angry or so frustrated that it comes out of you like a poison arrow, and you just, you know, that may not be a conscious thing. I don't know that, you know, this is the problem with semantics and really being, you know, I'm an editor and I've got a packed sixth house, so I pay attention to a lot of these little details. Mm-hmm. I don't know that using profanity in a car because you're frustrated, and I think that's something we've all done if you're a driver, is the same thing as a curse. from mm-hmm. a magical standpoint. When mm-hmm. you're frustrated and you say, I mean, I have to be careful because I work retail and I learn to have, I have a mouth like a, you know, the proverbial trucker. Every other word sometimes is like, you know, if I'm in the mood, you know, the F word. So, but that's not a curse. A curse is a conscious, articulated, at least in your head, mm-hmm. desire for something bad to happen to mm-hmm. someone. And, you know, whether it is only through words or through actions or through objects, just saying something in the car because the guy in front of you is a jerk, mm-hmm. you're not necessarily cursing them. Now, if you were going to take if you were so frustrated and you were going to take your magical energy and target it at that guy's tires,
mm-hmm.
that's a curse.
Intentional, yeah, just, yeah, have a flat tire, yeah, okay. So most of the time, maybe 99.9% of the time, it won't slip out and turn into something that you didn't want it to be.
Well, I mean, most curse words, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say them. Am I allowed to say things on your show?
Yeah, we're not. I don't know. Yeah, you can.
I mean, if you go shit or God, you know, what are they going to do? Drive over like dog poop? I mean, it's inconvenient, but it's not, you know, in the scope of things, that is not a terrible thing for most people. It happens when you're driving. You know, God damn it. I mean, you know, then you get into, are you commanding God? Like, are you in that position? Because if you're in that position, maybe you should be doing things beyond, like, you know, the idiot in front of you. I think most profanity is a stress reliever. It makes, at that moment, we're frustrated and it comes out of our mouth and we feel a little bit better. When you're cursing, you know, in your mind's eye, you're seeing the stupid car in front of you burst into flames. Okay, that's a curse.
Well, in chat.
So, I mean, people email me all the time. I don't mean to say this to be funny, but I mean, people email me all the time, am I cursed?
Yeah.
And, you know, mostly no.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, yes. Mostly no. And mostly people who think they're cursed are blocked, and there's a whole section on unblocking in 5,000 Spells, mm-hmm. or, you know, they may be going through an astral transit, and an astrologer can help you with that. You know, they start, but they stop. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a termination date. Or they have been, you know, the target of the evil eye, which can also be removed. There's all sorts of cleansing stuff that you can do to remove yourself of bad luck. There are spells for success and luck. People who are really cursed, first of all, you're it's not the car next to you, most likely, 99.9% of the time. It's going to be your friends or a relative, because people who are really cursed, if you start to talk with them, they know who cursed them, or they can narrow it down to a couple people,
mm-hmm.
and they know how. There are cultures, there are magical schools that are big in cursing, and I mean, I'm thinking of the Balkans, because, mm-hmm. you know, a Balkan curse is a curse. That's a, you know, and I mean, they are done relatively openly. You know, people will have a dispute about an estate or a will, or, you know, my sister-in-law ran away with my husband, so I'm gonna curse them.
Mm-hmm.
People will know why, who, how. It's not, and it manifests in very specific ways. Just mm-hmm. bad luck itself is not necessarily a curse.
Yeah. And then there are the people that tell them, I'm putting a curse on you, and they don't bother because they don't need to. You tell somebody you're putting
them
a curse on them, then the self-fulfilling prophecy happens.
Also, you know, are they good? I mean, you know, people, I had somebody curse me once. I mean, they paid somebody else to do it. And I mean, you can, for relatively little money, I mean, you can, there are practitioners who will curse someone. Those things can usually be removed. It's usually, the problem is you're not aware of it until you're really in it. You know, everybody who says, you also have to appraise. Somebody says they're going to curse you. Do they even know how?
Mm-mm.
I mean, because that's like a kid saying, I'm going to beat you up, you know, and you have to sort of appraise. Is this a kid who actually can back that up?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, is it just talk?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my advice to people, and I try to do this myself, is if you can, avoid, to the best of your ability, avoid really angry people. And I don't mean people who are angry about something,
right,
because we all have reasons to be angry. But there are people who will go for very long periods of time, especially when they're adults. They're bitter, they're angry, and nothing is their fault. There's no responsibility. Everything is because of someone else. And, you know, and they are gratuitous cursers. And, you know, sometimes a curse is deserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a curse is just, you know, a step away from protection magic. So if no justice is forthcoming, and if someone is out terrorizing people, you know, there are people who deserve to be cursed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, it's not a simple right or wrong thing.
Yeah.
Often you have to sort of explore who has been cursed and for what and who did the cursing. These are complex issues.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if the angry people are angry practitioners, eventually you will be the target. It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually you will be the target. And eventually, you know, if you keep There is sort of a boomerang effect with magical energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep out on putting out toxic energy, negative energy, unjustified angry energy, it will eventually come back to you. It's like a game of ping pong. It will be flung back at you, and you perhaps do not want to be there when that happens.
You don't want to be your own target.
Yeah.
In chat, the question is, does a curse work if no one knows about it?
Yeah, if it's a good curse. No, I mean, if it's an effective curse. Yeah, I mean, those are two different things. Those are... There's intimidation, which may make use of magical objects and magical threats, and then there's the actual curse. I'm going to give you an example. This is a famous one. It is the tiny little coffin. One method of cursing people is to create a little miniature coffin, or you know, you can make it. You can find a little box. And you put a doll baby inside, or sometimes you will put the photograph or the name, you know, on a piece of paper of the target of the spell, and it is dropped on the doorstep.
Mm.
So that when someone comes out of their house, they will look down and they will see this little coffin. And, you know, and when they open it up, there they are inside. And it is a very upsetting, very disconcerting thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's not actually a curse. Often, why is not a curse? I mean, it might scare somebody. And I think that's really the intent, because it is very public.
Yeah.
Often the person who is the target of that spell is someone who has terrorized the neighborhood. You know, their dogs are running free attacking people, or, you know, they're the local drug dealer, or they're, you know, they're sexually assaulting people, or they're doing something that makes them dangerous, and that coffin on the doorstep, by the time the person opens the door, you don't know who else has seen that. That's mm-hmm. the neighborhood telling you, you know, we're angry at you. The person who is really going to cast a spell is going to create that same thing, the same object with the coffin and the photo, but they're not going to drop it on the doorstep. They're going to take it to a cemetery and bury it.
Mm-hmm.
Where even, and they're going to do it so that even they can't dig it up. They won't remember where it is.
Yeah.
Because when a curse is public, beyond anything else, you're giving the person an opportunity to break that curse before it's had a chance to work.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I am not recommending any of this. I am a scholar of spells and I know how these things are done. I am not recommending you do any of this. It is, you have to have a really, really, really good reason to do something like that. It has to be justified. I mean, and unfortunately in this world, there are too many people who have really, really, really good reasons. So many wrongdoers go otherwise unpunished that people feel they must take things into their own hands. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I am not, this is not something you should ever do casually. But, right. you have to understand that, that's like anthropologists used to say this. You know, they would feel very superior. Well, you know, the natives are afraid of the curse because they believe in it. Well, you know, if the power of belief is so strong, then the natives would have, like, kicked you out a long time ago. Mm-hmm. They would just believe you gone. They would have reversed the autonomy, the power, the dynamics. So it's not belief. It is plugging into this magical current and riding with it. And a curse is actually more likely to work and work for longer if the target does not know about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about something about spell casting that is kind of controversial, because people say we should not do spells written by someone else, like, you know, those you find on the internet. Because let's be honest, there are a lot of unqualified people out there who think it's fun and games to make up spells and then share them with people who think
spells,
they're getting...
All spells are made up by people. All spells.
By people, but I mean, there are, you know, kids get on there, 9-year-old, 13-year-old, well, I'm going to write a spell, and then somebody that's really looking for answers or how to do it will read that thinking that, oh, well, it's on the internet, she knows what she's doing, or he knows what he's doing. And isn't that just kind of dangerous? I don't know.
I think spell casting in itself is amoral. It is the spell itself. The magical energy, it just is. How people use it affects whether it is ethical or not ethical. And mm-hmm. I think everybody's responsible for their actions. You shouldn't believe anything just because it's written down, whether mm-hmm. it's on the internet or in a book,
yeah.
or, you know, you should check your sources. You should know what you're doing. Ultimately, we are all responsible for our actions.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we make up a spell or we work with a spell that, I mean, people who are finding spells on the internet, I actually worry less about spells on the internet than I worry about spiritual advice of the internet.
Yeah.
I think you can get more in trouble with that.
Yeah.
The most dangerous thing with a spell is it will, you know, it could work. And then, you know, make sure that what you ask for is actually what you want and what you can handle. And, you know, it is spell casting, as with anything else, is a skill and it can be learned. I think the fact that a child created a spell does it necessarily make it worse than a spell created by an old person? I mean, children sometimes are really tapped into that energy.
True.
But you need to make sure that whatever you are doing it and expresses your desires, and it suits your life, and it's something that if you are ever uncomfortable about anything with a spell, don't do it.
Right.
Find another one. Every spell has been made up by a person since the beginning of time. Magical energy exists on its own, but spells are a spell that exists today was probably the ancestor of that spell may go back 1,000 years, and mm-hmm. it's been tweaked and retweaked, and we have documentation of this. Like in 5,000, one of the nice things with 5,000 spells, and the way they sort of hooked me into write it, the publisher, is that I had room to write variations. And so you can see there are spells associated with St. Helena, which are, you know, Catholic folk magic, but you can recognize underneath it spells that we have documents of almost identical spells, just naming Isis instead of St. Helena. We've got spells with Odin that a couple hundred years later show up with angels or with Jesus. you can watch the progression as people take these spells and have them evolve to fit their own spirituality. And there's nothing wrong with that. I am more, sometimes I start Googling and I'll Google a goddess or, you know, some sort of a spirit, a deity, and I'm just so appalled at the stuff that's online.
Yeah.
It's just, it's disrespectful, and it's wrong in many cases. It's just wrong. And I think with that now you're involving another being and a being of power. And I think there you can definitely get in trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, as with anything else right now, I mean, anybody can be an expert online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot here and there.
But you almost have to think of researching as a spiritual act, a spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of, you know, not just taking the first thing that comes up, or the thing with the most likes, but actually doing a little digging to see if it's important to you.
Yeah.
Or to get a big picture.
But everybody I know says, I hate research. Now, I love research.
I love research.
Yeah.
I love research.
And so I think people are not going to want to do a lot of research. They want the quick answer, you know, so the first thing that they see is what they're going to grab, because otherwise it turns into a chore for them.
You should go down the rabbit hole. Go down the rabbit hole and see what's waiting.
Yeah, I dig and dig and dig and dig, and people get mad at me because they'll say something and I go, wait, I got to look that up. Quit looking everything up. I said, yeah, but you just interested me in what you just said, and I want to find out more, you know, and they think I'm nuts, but well, maybe I am to some people. I'm perfectly sane otherwise, and don't you dare tell everybody the truth, Utica. All right, so here's another question from the chat room. Since you mentioned deities, is it necessary to work with deities for spell work to be effective?
No, absolutely not, and there are plenty of atheist witches. Plenty of, and I mean, and by atheists, like total atheists, they're not even land spirits, you know, not even, not animists, not anything. They're just, no. Spell casting, the only requirement to cast a spell is to be a human being who wants something. You know, I want to feel safe. I want to be loved. I want to, whatever it is, that is the only requirement. You can work with spirits and not cast spells. You can cast spells and not work with, you know, or even acknowledge. I mean, I know plenty of people who won't acknowledge their existence. I mean, if it works for them, it works for them. I mean, I'll tell you they're out there, but yeah. but you know, you have to work with what you know and not what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. So not what you believe and not just what other people tell you, because believing is often what we want to believe. You know, to quote Tom Petty, you'll believe what you want to believe. Knowing, and then once you know it, to believe what you know. Like, if, you know, there's that saying about when people show you who they are, believe them the first time. If you know something magically, then don't talk yourself out of it. That's a little bit of a hard thing. You know, I get emails about curses, but I also do a lot of readings where after we do the reading at the very end, the reason the person has come from the reading is they want me to tell them they're not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had an encounter with an angel, or they've either spell worked,
mm-hmm.
or they had a psychic moment, something like that. And they're very... they're very spiritually fulfilled in the moment, but 2 days later, or when somebody else has sort of poo-pooed it, they're not sure.
Yeah.
And that's very painful.
It is. What's the catalyst for manifesting a successful spell? And conversely, what are some of the reasons that absolutely make a spell fail?
I think the thing that is really not in books, the parts of the spell that you're not going to find reading about it, and I, you know, for that new edition of Pure Magic, now I'm thinking this is what I should put in the preface, is you don't have to believe the spell will work, but you do have to possibly believe just possibly that the goal of your spell is attainable, that this could work. The trick, I think, to really manifesting it is real focus, articulating, spending the time to articulate what you really want. Because often, if I say to you, well, what do you want? You'll say something, but the language isn't really precise enough to express your desire. You know, let's just say you want your partner to get a different job for various reasons. And so what you say is, I want their office building to burn down. But that's not really what you want, because that doesn't take away the person's job.
Mm-hmm.
They'll just move to another office building. And what if your partner or someone else is hurt in that fire? What, you know, what if it works?
Yeah.
You know, you always have to come in thinking that this might work. And so if it works, is that what you want? A classic is for people who want to get pregnant. They will say, I want to get pregnant. But that's not really what you want. You want to have a baby. You want to have a healthy, happy baby.
Mm-hmm.
You want, you know, that's the goal. Because you can get pregnant and pregnant and pregnant. If anybody who has had, you know, repeat miscarriages can attest, it's not enough. So what is the actual outcome that you desire? And then right before you cast the spell, or as you're doing it, so in particular with the candle, for example, if this is candle magic, holding the candle in your hand before you light it and really seeing the goal of your spell manifested. And that is not as easy as it sounds, because our spells are often, they're motivated by lack. And what you have to see is the acquisition. So, you know, healing spells. There are a lot of spells for health issues, especially those that defy diagnosis or defy conventional treatment, and you're feeling terrible probably as you cast the spell, and in your mind's eye, you have to see yourself healthy and able to do all the things that you now can't do. And that's hard. You know, if you're heartbroken, you have to see yourself happy and love. If, you know, flat broke, you have to see yourself like, you know, $1,000 bills, like, you know, raining on you. Mm-hmm. It's hard, but you want to hold that. It's almost like seeing it and then sending that out into the universe, sending that energy out there to come back at you. Why spells don't work are often more interesting than why spells do work. They're often more revealing about a situation. Sometimes a spell doesn't work. I find a lot of times a spell doesn't work because people aren't focusing. We live in a world that encourages multitasking. And if you're not really putting your own magical energy in there, it often doesn't work. Sometimes we're asking for things we don't really want. We're asking for things because other people make us feel like we should have them, or for whatever reason we are asking for something, but our secret heart's desires are saying, no, 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 I don't want this. You know, this is, you know, the spell to get someone to marry you, or, oh boy, I really want this job. But that little corner of your mind, you don't want that job. You want to go travel. And sometimes you have that inner break. Sometimes the spell doesn't work because the universe is asking you to consider. You may be asking for something that you think is the best for you, but maybe the universe knows better. So this is like, it's not working because you need to sit there and think about, is this really good for me? And I my mother and my daughter love true crime. So I have watched a lot of true crime television shows. And, you know, there's always, like, some woman who is killed by her significant other who, and often she was so happy to have that significant other. So maybe that spell not working is because the universe is saying you don't know the whole story. You don't know the big picture. Sometimes the spell isn't working because it's the wrong spell for you. And one of the joys of spell casting is not about the spell working. It's alchemy. It's about finding your inner power. What is your magical power? Are you a candle burner? Are you an herbalist? Are you a clairvoyant? Are you a dreamer? You know, that joy of that. And sometimes it's pushing you on your spiritual path to find, you know, what it is that you should be doing. In my experience, if you keep casting a spell, you don't have to keep doing the same one, but if you keep working toward a magical goal, if you're persistent, eventually it probably will work. You just, if it's not, when it doesn't work, don't get frustrated. I mean, you can't help it, you're going to get frustrated. But after you get frustrated and you know, all the profanity, pull back and look at the situation. Examine it as something, it's worthy of analysis. After a while, if you do this long enough, you're going to know. I cannot tell you how this works, but I know it does work. If I cast a spell now, if it's not going to work, I can feel it. There's a flatness. And sometimes if it is going to work, it's like being plugged into an outlet. Like, you know, it's like if you have ever tried to open your car when the battery is dead. Like, as soon as you try to turn the key, you know the battery's dead. It's very similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a good point, and it hits home. I got it. We need to talk about both books that you've got coming out, because we're going to run out of time if we don't. One day I'm going to have you come back, and we're going to talk about all this magic, but just without having a book to talk about.
Yeah,
just do a Q&A kind of thing, because that'll be good.
I had a very prolific year. I have a book coming out at the end of August. This book should have been out about a year ago, but this was a little bit of a victim of the pandemic. So I have four encyclopedias, as you said, Marla. This, I think, is the capstone. It is it's called Daily Magic. It will be out at the end of August. Pre-orders are already up. It is a perpetual calendar of spells and rituals. So not a wheel of the year. It's January 1st to December 31st. And just because I started creating these notebooks for myself, you know, there are spells that are best done at certain times of the year or in certain days, dates. And I started compiling this for myself, and then it kind of grew from there. But it's a perpetual, so, you know, you can use it at any time. You can use it this year, next year, 20 years, whatever. And then there will be in December a new edition of Pure Magic, the book that has been known as Pure Magic and the Big Book of Practical Spells. They're reverting to the title Pure Magic, and I think Practical Spells will be the subtitle now. And Wiser Books has a series of Wiser Classics, and it's really an honor to be included in that.
Well, you're very classy and classic, so you deserve to be there. I mean, just no doubt in my mind. But yeah, so you have to come back in August, and then you have to come back in December.
It would be my pleasure.
Just, you know, fair warning on you. just had to bring that up, but I did want people to know that you have two new books. So if people go to your website, they'll kind of find out everything that's going on with you and stuff.
Do you remember the beginning of the show? That's my website. My website is like totally not functional right now. It's going to be rebuilt, I mean, soon, because it has to be soon. But the website is down. I'm on social media. I'm writing a lot this year. I'm writing a foreword for a new edition of Mystical Kabbalah, the Dion Fortune book. And I've got some other things, other projects that I think are too soon to talk about. But I'm working on great projects, and it's very exciting. But I'm a full-time editor also. Yeah. So between the two of those, I can't breathe. I am on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I may not be that fast answering right now, but I will. So I'm not that hard to get in touch with. But the website is like, it's going down, and it will be, you know, resurrected in a couple months, a whole brand new one.
Oh, good. Because you had a good website before, and it'll just be better now, new and improved.
For a while. It's really kind of embarrassing, it'll get fixed.
Yeah, you're into so many things, and that's why I'm so happy that you came up for air to share those books, because, you know, I saw it and I went, oh, wow, because you did that course, you know, Pure Magic. And then I saw the book, and then I thought, wait, I already have that book, the old book, you know, and so, yeah, it's going to be something to look forward to for sure. I have one more question. We have a couple of minutes from the chat room about spellcasting. Do people need to use specific tools like a wand or candle to cast an effective spell?
No. You can actually create a spell with nothing but your mind and your words. You don't actually – everything else is a tool to help you. The magic is inside you. But if you cast spells without any tools, you will be tired. And so because you're basically doing everything. So you just need to make sure to replenish your energy afterwards, because you can really, really deplete yourself. No, there is a reason the book is – there are genuinely – more than 5,000 spells in the book Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells. Mm-hmm. No individual actually needs 5,000 spells. You need a good dozen, but you have to find the dozen spells that work for you. We are all a little different, and the spell that works for me, that I swear by, might not work for you, and the spell that works for you might not work for Marla, and, you know, we could keep going. Mm-hmm. Some people, I would recommend looking at your chart, at your astrological chart, to see what the elements are, what the signs are, and there's probably a hint there as to what are the best tools for you. But we don't all use the same tools. People ask me sometimes if I cast all the 5,000 spells, and it's like, please, no. You know, there are spells that are for smallpox. Please, you know, I hope none of us needs them. I mean, they're there. If you know, God has forbid you need it. It's there, but you need to have a journey to find what works for you. Mm-hmm. If that wand feels really good in your hand, and maybe that's your tool. Mm-hmm. But do you have a long wand? Do you have a little wand? Do you have like a rough wand, like just a stick? Do you have a polished wood wand? Do you have a metal wand? Some people have multiple wands. A crystal wand? I mean, there are so many kinds.
Yeah.
So finding what works for you. And just if it works for you, that's great. It doesn't have to work for anybody else.
No, that's exactly right. All right, we have to pretty much wrap up. That mystical thing in the beginning kind of ate up a little time. But seriously, someday when you just need a break from writing, just get in touch with me, and we'll do a Q&A show about spell casting or witchcraft or whatever. Because I've done a couple of those with different topics, and they're really fun. And I've got like the world's best chat room, and they ask the world's best questions. So, we can
do
that.
They were good questions.
Yeah.
Those were great questions.
They're brilliant, all of them. So, anyway, I can't wait for the books. And I want to thank you again for being here. And I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. And blessed
thank
be.
Thank you.
Merry meet again, and good night.
Circle be open, but unbroken. May the peace of the goddess be ever in your heart. Merry meet, and merry part, and merry meet again. Merry meet again. Merry meet again.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.